This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Businessman Brian Ellis is mounting a primary challenge in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District, which includes both Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. He is challenging incumbent Congressman Justin Amash in the Republican primary. Ellis is also a former member of the East Grand Rapids School Board. Brian Ellis, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. Good morning.
And we're also joined by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Ellis, why don't you begin by briefly telling us a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for the U.S. House?
Sure. Well, I think the main thing that seems to resonate as I go around, and one of the reasons why I got into the race, is I'm not a career politician. I'm a businessman by background. I've kind of owned two businesses in my career. One was a food manufacturing business. I made French fries and sold those to restaurants. And then sold that business, and I started a investment management firm. And so I approached this job with a business orientation, with a strong financial background. And to me, these are the biggest challenges facing our country. We have budget deficits as far as the eye can see. We have our national debt is at $17 trillion and climbing, going to 18 to 19, which I find to be completely unacceptable. And we have the whole debacle of the Obamacare rollout, and that needs to be repealed. So as I assessed the situation, I felt that the skills that I can bring to the table really line up with the challenges the country faces. And then when I bring in the present representative and how he's voted on numerous issues, when he doesn't support a balanced budget amendment, when he didn't support small business tax cuts, when he didn't support the Keystone Pipeline, when he didn't support the life issue, as I'm a pro-life candidate, this got me highly motivated to get in the race, and here I am.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Brian Ellis.
Yesterday, the Detroit Free Press came out with the latest poll numbers. It shows your opponent, Congressman Amash, has a 20-point lead. He's continuously said, you're not a credible candidate. The Detroit Free Press said maybe with these recent poll numbers, he might be right. Is it too early to dismiss you as a primary challenger?
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, what's he going to say? That I've got him on the run like I do? You know, I've had a lot of people contribute to my campaign. I've had now some key endorsements come through that's validation of the path that I'm on. Right to Life has endorsed me. The Michigan Farm Bureau has endorsed me. The Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce has endorsed me. The State Chamber of Commerce has endorsed me. So, you know, I'm not worried that I'm down. I mean, I'm just worried about where I'm at on Election Day. And, you know, I cite this, you know, John Engler was down 13 with 2 weeks to go. And other people that I know, like Ken Sikkema, he was down 20 with 3 weeks to go. And here I am, 7 weeks to go and down roughly 20. Okay.
But how do you go from you're down 20 points? And admittedly, yes, there is time to saying that he's on the run. I mean, he is ahead and the Free Press poll actually shows he's over 50%, which is a big mark for an incumbent.
Yeah, well, these key groups are coming my way. Each day, the momentum is building greater and greater. And people, these are organizations and individuals that previously supported Justin Amash. And now they're running from him because of his voting record. He's got a horrendous voting record on just about any issue you want to talk about. And that's the premise of my campaign, is I don't feel like he is voting in a manner that reflects the values of our district. He's voting his own personal libertarian agenda, and I don't think that's what the voters want, and we're going to find out.
You say that you want to repeal Obamacare. There's a story in the Washington Post which just came out saying that there's a lot of Republican candidates who are now backing away from the word repeal and talking about fixing, tweaking, all sorts of other things. Are there parts of the Affordable Care Act which you do want to keep in place if there is some sort of replacement down the line?
Yeah, if you're talking about a replacement, I think what the article might have been referring to, I didn't see it, was you know, the practicality until the Republicans gain the Senate and gain the presidency, it is more difficult to repeal. But I still think that we need to repeal this horrendous law. I mean, it's just there's no free market principles embedded in it. It's a government control and takeover of the healthcare system. You know, certain things, if we could adjust right now, if that's your question, the 30-hour work week, you know, I think we should restore the 40-hour work week. And that 30-hour provision of Obamacare is starting to have implications where people's hours are being cut, putting the pressure on people even more. So that's just one example of something that could be fixed right now, but I don't see any effort to do that.
Should a replacement include a provision that you cannot be denied coverage for a pre-existing condition?
Yes, I do think that is a good concept to have in any sort of replacement, yes.
How about kids being able to stay on
and
their parents?
The kids, yes, up to 26. Yes, that's another good provision. So there's certain aspects of it that aren't bad. But when we repeal and replace it, I want to see this based on free market principles, like the ability to buy across state lines, like greater use of medical savings accounts, like tort reform inside of our health healthcare economy, which helps drive up costs. I mean, you know, I'll give you my own personal example that I've been talking about as I go around. I get a letter in December from my insurance company. It says you have two choices. You can stay with your high deductible family plan and keep paying $575 a month, or you can switch to an Obamacare compliant plan with these benefits. And it listed the benefits side by side with my plan, exactly the same. Or I can pay $1,200 a month.
For the Obamacare compliant
right.
one?
Okay. That's exactly the same as what I have. So, I mean, obviously, I stayed the way I am, but this is rippling out across the country, and this is going to be devastating.
So I assume you don't like the mandate that people have to have health insurance?
Correct.
Okay. How do you allow then for a provision that says you can't deny coverage for pre-existing conditions if you don't have a mandate? Because if we all can wait and get health insurance when we're sick, the system's not going to sustain itself. So how do you address that?
Yeah, well, I think when you have the government interfering in the system and doing it in a what I would call a heavy-handed manner, I think if we had a free market system where people could pick the plan of their choice based on their circumstances and their needs and their individual situation, and then be allowed to have the pooling in a greater quantity, you know, across state lines, then I think we would be able to have cost-effective plans that would work for the insured that are buying it.
Okay, but my question is, if people cannot be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions and they don't have to have health insurance, can't they wait until they're sick to buy health insurance?
I get where you're coming from. I don't know the exact answer to that, but there's a workaround where you can not be denied for your pre-existing condition, and we can't allow people to kind of game the system, so to speak. And so you'd have to cover that in whatever you implement.
Jennifer.
A lot of the criticism that your campaign has raised concerns about is your opponent's voting record. He is one known to explain every vote on Facebook, as he has reminded folks in response to your criticisms. But a lot of his explanations for why he votes no on things, for example, the balanced budget amendment, is that it doesn't go far enough. And not that he's not in support of a balanced budget amendment, but that what was presented to him was not enough. What are your responses? What's your response to that?
The vote is the bottom line. And so your explanation is not more important than your vote. The vote is how all the citizens of the 3rd District are being represented, and that's your constitutional obligation. Now, I think it's good that he explains his votes, and I would do the same, not necessarily all on Facebook, but I think you need to be held accountable in that way. But it's not, he talks or acts like it's the reverse, that his explanation is the most important thing and not the vote. The vote is the most important thing. And just because you explain it doesn't mean you're right. So there's a little bit of a disconnect here. So balanced budget amendment, we talked about that. He's the only Republican in Michigan not to support the balanced budget amendment. Now, he didn't say it didn't go far enough. He said he had a better one that never saw the light of day and never came to a vote. I mean, I would have voted for the balanced budget amendment. We clearly have a spending problem in this country, and we need that discipline because the political politicians in Washington have proven that they don't have the discipline to balance the budget. It's that simple. And so when it came down to crunch time on this vote, how were we represented? We were represented with a no vote, saying which means continue the status quo of out-of-control spending. It was a great opportunity for our congressman to say, I stand behind balancing the budget, and so I'm going to vote for it. But hey, I also have an alternative that's maybe, I think, better. But instead, he voted no. So I'm sitting there going, this is how we're represented. We're our representative is saying the 3rd District of Michigan doesn't stand for a balanced budget amendment. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you support it and then vote against it. And that goes on a lot of votes.
You have a long list of votes on your website.
I do.
As you call them, Amash's Bizarre Votes. Just briefly here, could you pick one or two that you think really stand out and show key differences between you and your opponent?
Well, I think if we look at the life issue, I mean, I'm a pro-life candidate. This is a very important issue to me personally. I think this is an important issue to the residents of the 3rd District. And so there was a vote to ban gender selection abortions, and Justin Amash voted no. And then there were two opportunities to defund America's largest abortion provider, and he voted present on those. He lost the right to life endorsement. And I've earned the right to life endorsement. And you can't run around saying that you support life and then vote against life when it comes before you. That's one. Keystone Pipeline is another. This is important to our energy independence and our energy future. And every Republican in Congress supported approving the Keystone Pipeline except one person, our congressman. And so I just find that to be outrageous. And then another one that's just kind of just mind-boggling is the breast cancer stamp. It brings in $80 million a year for breast cancer research. It does not cost the taxpayers any extra money. And Justin Amash was the only one in Congress, not to support the breast cancer stamp. So, and I'm saying I would. Because I think this is a good initiative and positive for this hideous disease.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Brian Ellis. He is a Republican candidate for Congress challenging incumbent Representative Justin Amash in the district that includes Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. And also here is Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. Jennifer?
Calhoun County's been shuffled around in redistricting in recent history. And even now, we're the southern tip. That can maybe prompt some of our voters in Calhoun County to feel like maybe there's a disconnect between who is representing them and them. How would you go about reaching these constituents?
Well, I already have. I've been making a heavy effort in Calhoun County, and my mom grew up in Marshall. So as a young boy, I would come down here from Grand Rapids on the family farm. When my grandparents passed away, that went by the wayside, and my uncle lives in Battle Creek. So I have some family roots right here in Calhoun County. And as I've traveled around the district, the question you brought up, that sensitivity is there, that Calhoun feels that they have been shunted from one district to another. But I just tell people that I have roots here, and I would be proud and honored to represent this county as part of the third district. And so I'm just meeting as many people as I can in coffee shops and in whatever setting. I was at the cereal table, the longest cereal table, this past weekend. I was in the parade Friday night. And so it's about reaching out and engaging with people and not being removed. So I'm down in Calhoun all the time and will continue to be if in office.
Something Amash has really prided himself on is his regular town hall meetings, and he's regularly attended ones in Battle Creek, Marshall, and the Calhoun County area. Is that something that you would borrow from his playbook?
Sure, but I would go a lot further than that, because I think there's more to being a good representative than just calling a town hall meeting, coming in, spending 1 hour, and then leaving. I mean, to me, it's more than that. I want to sit down and have coffee with people. I want to sit down and talk to people in their environment and hear what's on their mind and what's going well and what's not going well. And it's more than just having the podium and then walking in and walking out. I mean, I think that's a good aspect, but I would sure go a lot further than that.
One of the criticisms of Justin Amash from fellow Republicans are his efforts when it comes to national security and privacy. What limits do you believe there should be on the government's efforts to collect data and on surveillance efforts?
Sure. Well, there's a clear distinction. In fact, I feel like his campaign is spreading lies. I do not believe in spying on American citizens whatsoever. We have the Fourth Amendment that protects us from that. However, there was a provision that came up for a vote that dealt with our ability to monitor foreign terrorists like Al-Qaeda. And Justin Amash voted against monitoring foreign terrorists like Al-Qaeda. I think that's totally wrong. If we have the capability to monitor foreigners, I'm not. He's trying to confuse it and say, I want to spy on all U.S. citizens. I want to be really clear. I do not agree with that. I'm against spying on U.S. citizens. But if we have the capability to monitor foreign terrorists that are clearly trying to do us harm, like Al-Qaeda, I think we should do that to keep our country safe. We obviously see some horrific things going on in the Middle East right now, and we need to stay on top of the situation and keep this country safe. And I think taking a vote like that is not responsible.
Would you vote for the reauthorization of the Patriot Act?
I'd have to see what's in it. I mean, the Patriot Act, think about this. It was a reaction and maybe an overreaction to what happened on 9/11. Clearly, nobody in this country wants to see another 9/11 happen. And so then that's basically how the Patriot Act came to be. Now, clearly, they've stepped over the line and they've gone too far with it. And they're monitoring from what you read. I don't have all the facts because I don't get the classified data. They're monitoring U.S. citizens. And if that's going on, that is wrong. And that needs to stop. But if we can monitor foreign terrorists, then I think we should be doing that in an attempt to keep our country safe.
Jennifer?
What's your stance on foreign aid to other countries?
Foreign aid is a policy, a foreign policy tool that we have at our disposal. I would be careful about just what I think goes on with that is just automatically renewal. So then it just becomes a huge line item expenditure. And many of the countries that we're trying to help are actually maybe working against us. So I would just be much more stingy with that, but I don't think it should go to zero.
You've said that economics, debt, those sort of things are the main driver of your campaign. But right now we have a bit of a foreign policy situation. And at some point in the future, if you're elected to Congress, you may be asked to authorize the use of U.S. force in foreign lands. If that vote comes up, what's the bar for you? What conditions have to be satisfied for you to say that you would authorize sending troops overseas?
Well, it's very hard to answer hypotheticals, but clearly United States interests have to be clearly on the line. But, you know, there was something here recently that happened that I think weakens our country and it gets into this foreign policy area, and that was the prisoner exchange that just happened. And, you know, Justin Amash is with President Obama because he's voted to close down Guantanamo Bay and release all the terrorists. So we had this exchange where there were five terrorists released, which I think was a complete mistake. And if Justin Amash had his way, they'd all be released. And I think that's wrong, and I think that's dangerous for our country.
But what Justin Amash will argue is that what we've established here is indefinite detention. I mean, do we just keep prisoners in Guantanamo forever till they die, or at some point do they get a trial to show whether or not they're actually guilty of terrorist acts or plotting or whatever else?
Right. Well, first of all, they're military combatants. They're not afforded the rights of the United States Constitution, and I don't think it's right to close down Guantanamo Bay and release these prisoners and put all of us at greater risk. I mean, we all know the data on those that have been released. About a third of them come back to do harm to U.S. citizens, and now we released five of the most notorious, and who knows what's going to happen with that. And what we've heard already early on is not good as well. So I think Justin's on completely wrong side of this and puts our country at greater risk.
So keep prisoners in Guantanamo till they die?
No, I'm not saying that, but there's military tribunals and other ways in the military justice system. But if we're continually at war with somebody, then yeah, they would maybe be a prisoner of war, however you want to classify that.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Republican congressional candidate Brian Ellis. He is challenging incumbent Congressman Justin Amash in the 3rd District, which includes Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here. Jennifer.
When it comes to Bergdahl, you mentioned him. To what extent should the U.S. should have gone to rescuing him?
Well, clearly we have to look out for our own men and women that are captured or held by the enemy. But we've had a longstanding policy of not negotiating with terrorists that was broken by our president, endorsed by our own congressman, because he would close Guantanamo Bay and release all these prisoners. And I just think that's wrong and puts the future at even greater risk for all of our people serving kind of on the front line. So I think it's a very dangerous precedent, and it's wrong. That doesn't mean you don't try and rescue your fellow servicemen. And then we're finding stories about there's maybe a cloud over how he served. And I'm not passing judgment on that because I don't have the facts. But if he was deserting or whatever, then the military has a way to deal with that, and that'll come out in due course.
If he deserted, would you say we shouldn't expend any effort to get him back?
No, I still think we should get our troops home, and then we have a way of dealing with that properly through our own military justice system.
There was an article in Politico about the Tea Party that quoted a lobbyist as saying, "I don't think Justin Amash cares whether Bank of America gives to him or not." This was around the time of the questions of government shutdown and those sort of things. I'm thinking that some voters probably find that idea appealing, that Justin Amash doesn't care if he gets a contribution from one of the large banks, which, after all, were involved in the financial crisis back in 08 and 09. Do you care who gives money to you?
Well, you do, I think, on one hand, but on another hand, you don't. What I care about is the residents of the 3rd District. That's who I'm trying to represent. And different people are giving me money. I mean, I've taken in a fraction of what he's taken in from outside interest groups. So he tries to criticize me for taking money from outside groups, but he's got the ultimate in Club for Growth, giving him all kinds of outside money, pushing $400,000. Money is a part of the political scene because you have to get your message out. But I'm not so beholden to people that means that I vote because somebody gave me money a certain way. I trust my conscience, and I trust the voter or the residents of the 3rd District. That's my guiding compass and how I would represent them.
Jennifer?
Would you support Amash should you lose the primary?
I would support the Republican nominee as I've done in the past. You know, I would point out Justin Amash, when Mitt Romney ultimately became the nominee for president, he was one of 3 Republicans that didn't support Mitt Romney, didn't endorse him, and now we've got Barack Obama. So Justin Amash and the people that think he's doing a good job are in large part responsible for why we don't have Mitt Romney as our president and we have Barack Obama. Justin supported somebody else, Ron Paul, in the primary. That's his right. But then when it coalesced around Mitt Romney as our nominee, if you're truly a Republican, you would have stood forward and supported Mitt to go forward and take on Barack Obama. And Justin Amash didn't do that, and I think he was really wrong in that, and we're paying a big price for that right now.
Well, how responsible is he? Isn't Mitt Romney ultimately responsible for the campaign he ran, et cetera?
Yes, but Justin and the people that he appeals to, and I think the polling data bears this out, sat on their hands in that election, and that's a large part of why we have Barack Obama. And he should have come forward and endorsed the Republican nominee when that was finally settled.
Do you think this race is giving us a couple of different factions of the Republican Party? Are you and Justin Amash part of different Republican groups within the same party?
Well, people are trying to portray it that way, but I don't think that way. You know, people have said to me, "Well, you're taking on the Tea Party," and I say, "Well, absolutely, I'm not." Because look at some of the things the Tea Party stands for: limited government, lower taxes, civic responsibility. Those things all resonate with me as a conservative Republican. But what I am taking on is a congressman that says one thing and votes another. Don't listen to his rhetoric. Look at his voting record. That's why we're putting out the bizarre vote of the week. Don't listen to his explanation. Go to the bottom line, the vote, how you and I were represented. So when it came for a balanced budget, 3rd District said no on behalf of Justin. When it came to small business tax cut, 3rd District said no on behalf of Justin. When it came to upholding life, he said no on behalf of the residents of the 3rd District. I think he's on the wrong side. All these votes I'm bringing out, he's on the wrong side of the vote in my book.
PolitiFact, though, found that he votes with Republicans over 80% of the time. I mean, how much do you need to achieve before you are a true Republican? It's more than 80? Is it 90?
Well, I'm bringing up key issues that I think are critically important to the residents of this district based on my experience of living here for the past 54 years. And we're going to find out come August 5th if people agree with that or not. And I think they're going to side with me because I just don't think they want their conservative Republican congressman voting against a balanced budget. They don't want their congressman voting against the life issue. They don't want their congressman voting to close down Guantanamo Bay. I mean, the list goes on and on. They don't want their congressman voting 51% with Obama. This was a Congressional Quarterly study in 2012. And they scored every vote where the Obama administration took a position. And these are the most important votes to the Obama administration. And Justin Amash was 51%. Okay, next closest Republican in Michigan, 18%. And guess who the number one Republican in all of Congress was for siding with President Obama on that study? Justin Amash. This is the most liberal president this country has ever seen. And I don't think the conservative Republicans of this district want to send their congressman to Washington, D.C. to vote 51% of the time with President Obama's position.
Jennifer?
I want to ask you about some social issues. What's your stance on same-sex marriage?
I believe in traditional marriage between a man and a woman.
Do you support civil unions?
Yes. If it's a state's issue, you know, we have in the state right now, we have a ban on that. Now it's working its way through the court system. We'll see where that's, you know, lands. But you're asking me what I believe. I believe in traditional marriage.
But should gay couples have something legally so that they can,
if
you know,
the states decide that that's what they want to do, then I stand with the people. Right now, our people have said no. That's being challenged. We'll see where that leads us.
If it were to be put on the ballot here in Michigan, how would you vote?
Oh, well, I'd have to wait and see at the time. I mean, I think I made my position real clear right now.
Where do you stand on any further federal action when it comes to marijuana? There was recently a vote in the House where the House voted to basically stay out of the way of states, federal action anyway, where states have approved medical marijuana. Do you support that?
Well, I support medical marijuana, but I don't support further legalization of marijuana. I think it's, from my experience on a school board, our data has shown and other studies have shown that the younger people start with marijuana, the highly likely are they to go on to harder drugs later on. The earlier they start, the more likely they are. And so I just think that drugs are a big drag on our society, and I don't agree with it.
Okay, about a minute left. Why don't you give us the case why we're going to wake up the first Wednesday in August and find out that Brian Ellis is the Republican nominee in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District?
Sure. Well, you know, this district has a long tradition of sending a conservative Republican to Washington, D.C. And the decision people have on August 5th is who is going to best represent their views and values. And I believe that's me because I'm going to uphold the conservative values that we all cherish. And Justin Amash talks that way, but he doesn't vote that way. So on these fiscal issues, like I've talked about, balanced budget amendment, yes, I will support that. Tax cuts and reforming our tax code, I'll support that. The life issue, and I'm endorsed by Right to Life, and he's not. That ought to tell people something about what's going on. He thinks that he's pro-life, but he hasn't voted that way. And that's the whole premise. our country is facing very serious challenges, and those are fiscal in nature. I want to go to Washington to advance conservative Republican solutions to our challenges. And if we can get these enacted, I believe our country will be on a far better path. And I think I'm the one to do that.
Brian Ellis, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Brian Ellis is a candidate for Congress in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. He's challenging the incumbent, Justin Amash, in this summer's Republican primary. The district includes both Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. And thanks again to Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you, Gordon.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.